We give you thanks. And Father, we thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, as we enjoyed the word this morning and the breakfast that was presented, and Lord, we pray that you just continue your work right now as Pastor John brings forth your word. Lord, we thank you for every opportunity that you have given us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your empowerment. We thank you for your leading in all areas. Now, Father, we pray that you just bless this time, bless Pastor John as he ministers this word. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week, if you were here, you might remember that I spoke about the fact that we have all been called to be worshiping warriors. And we saw that if we want to become the worshiping warrior that God has called us to be, and if we want to bring him glory and advance his kingdom, then we need to do some things. We need to recognize and walk in and proclaim the authority of God, the authority of his word. And today what I want to do is I want to talk in particular about the proclaiming part, proclaiming the authority of God, proclaiming the authority of his word, of his message to us. Because we're all supposed to be proclaiming God's message, aren't we? When we worship something, we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should be excited about it, right? If we really, really care about something, I would think that it would be burning in our heart and we want to get it out there. We want to share about it. We want to proclaim it. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John healed the beggar and in Jesus' name. And what happened was they got arrested. They got restrained because they were proclaiming the name of Jesus. And then in Acts 4:13, it says that they were commanded not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. So how did Peter and John reply to that? They said, which is right in God's eyes? In God's eyes, not in your eyes. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. I think it's pretty obvious what's right. So they went back, and you know, they went back to their friends, to all the other believers and disciples that they'd been working with, and they told them everything that happened, and they began to pray together. And you remember what happened there? What happened was, it says in Acts 4:31, after they prayed, after they spent that time worshiping God, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Really, like really shaken, like another little minor earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they became even more forceful, more effective, bolder worshiping warriors. They weren't going to back down. They were determined to get the message out. That was their job. That was their mission. The truth is, every one of us has been called to proclaim this message, to testify about what God has done, and that's what I want to talk about today. In the second chapter of Acts, we find an amazing description of life in the early church. And it talks all throughout Acts about the growth of the church, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit is really, really involved in this. Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then in 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, or basically come and hang around the church, except they didn't have church there. They broke bread in their homes. That was their church. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All throughout the book of Acts, we see the beginnings of the early church, and we saw that the church was consistently growing, consistently making an impact. In fact, it talked about how they were turning the whole place upside down, and they were spreading, the message was spreading across the land. Why was that? Well, you know, what was causing this growth? What was causing the growth was the fact that they were They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking the message. They had this fire inside their belly, you could say, and they were excited about God, and all they wanted to do was to proclaim the message of God. We don't have to wait for somebody like Billy Graham to come to town, because the Holy Spirit, guess what, is already in town. He's already here, and he's in our home, in our heart, right here, in our heart. And it's not beyond our capabilities to get this message out there, to build the church. Jesus said he was building his church. He would be the one building his church, and he's doing it, but he's doing it through us, through the power of his Holy Spirit in us. We have been filled with power from on high. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is alive inside of us. God's Word tells us in 1 John 5:10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in their heart. Anyone, everyone, all of us who believe in the Son of God, we have a testimony. We have a message. We have a witness in our heart. Verse 11 and 12 goes on to say, and this is the testimony, or the message. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Makes it pretty clear, there is no other way. If we don't have Jesus, we don't have eternal life. There is no other path. There is no other road. There is no other way to heaven. There's one way. Anyone tries to come in any other way is a thief and a liar. Matthew 10:27 tells us, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. See, God is expecting us to be proclaimers. Remember the guys that in the old medieval movies, Robin Hood, and hear ye, you know. They'd go out and they'd have the little flag hanging on the horn, and they would come into town and they would, you know, they would pound something on the door, and then they would proclaim the message. Your taxes have just been raised. Or some other exciting news like that, you know. Well, Jesus wants us to proclaim His message. Matthew 28:19, he made the point very clear. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, and then again, in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And guess what? In Luke 2:9-60, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And what do you know? It's in John 2. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. It's all over the place. Get the message out. Come on, get the message out. In each gospel, we're told that we have a job to do. We have a purpose. We're on a mission from God. He didn't just save us so we could party down in our own little, you know, Christian group, in our own little church, all just amongst ourselves. If being saved was the end of the road, if that was the end of our mission, then why doesn't He just take us up to heaven when we're saved? Oh, He saved, bam, gone. He saved, bam, gone. Well, would sure make life a lot simpler, wouldn't it? If we could get saved and go, be done. Except, what about all the people we left behind? Who would hear, where would people, how would they hear the good news? Who would be here to tell them? Who would proclaim the message? That's why we're still here, to finish the job. See, this is an ongoing job. This is an ongoing enterprise to continue to proclaim the message. It's never done. Just because we shared it with one neighbor or one waitress or one person here or there, we don't rest then and say, oh good, I did my job, that's it. This is our work This is our job. It should be our joy until the day we die. This is how we do our part in helping to bring all things together under one head, Jesus Christ. It's right up here. It's part of the mission of our church. It's our vision. Sometimes we don't realize the awesome power that is inside of us. The power, God entrusted this power in us. He filled us with His power, the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, He's given us the ability to reach right into someone's life, right into their heart, and steal that person away from the clutches of the devil. Think about that. We think of the devil as, he's got a lot of power, right? He's got a lot of deception. He's a good thief. He's a big liar. He's a great schemer. And he entraps people. But God's given us the power to go in and steal them back from the enemy. To bring them into His kingdom. We have that. It's in us. But we have to use it. We can show them the death that is in there. The death that's in their heart. But even more importantly, we can show them the way through the Holy Spirit to bring life into their heart. To bring forgiveness. To bring joy. To bring peace. To bring eternity into their heart with God. We can help set them free from the kingdom of darkness. We can help rescue them and bring them into the kingdom of God. It's not our arguments. It's not our persuasive speech or our words that's going to win people over. It's good to know, obviously, we need to know the Word. We need to know as well as we can, as much as we can. But it's not our power. It's not our persuasion that's going to save somebody. It's the Holy Spirit working in that person and convicting them of sin and the Holy Spirit revealing God's love to them. Our job is to be there and allow ourselves to be used by God at that particular time to explain to them what's happening in their life. Because they already know something's going on. They're not satisfied. They're unhappy. They're getting these feelings. They're wondering, what's all the purpose? What's the reason? Why am I here? And somebody comes along and God, just at that particular time, opens this door, makes this opportunity that we're supposed to make the most of. And then we begin to explain to them what they're feeling. The opportunity that they have and how to go about being born again. We don't have to worry beforehand about what we're going to say. As I said, it's good to know the Word. I mean, I'm not in any way saying that we shouldn't know the Word. Of course we want to know the Word as best as we can, but God is telling us in His Word, and I'm going to get to it here, that we don't have to worry. We don't have to sweat it out. Like, what are we going to say? How are we going to do this? Oh my gosh, here they come. Do I have it ready? Did I remember now? What am I going to say? Oh gosh darn, I forgot. Oh, what scripture was that? Oh, you know? And kill. Oh, I can't do it. I forgot. I can't do it. Maybe the next time. You see, that's that fear and that doubt and, you know, that the devil wants to put in us. That's part of his scheme against us and against them. To stop the interaction that God had already set up. So we can't allow that to happen. We have to get in there and go forward. We just need to be available and be led by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 through 20 gives us a little bit of insight into how this works. Now, it could happen under any situation, any scenario, but here's one. It says, "On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, God could give us the words to say. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been praying with somebody and all of a sudden something comes out and you look, where did that come from? The Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak in any place, at any time, if we allow Him. I remember one time I was meeting with somebody, and you know, it was during a little bit of counseling, and I began to share God's Word with them and some different things. And for some reason, I got off the subject, and I began to follow this little rabbit trail, and I began to talk in depth about something. And then all of a sudden, I realized, like, I'd been talking for a while about something that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. So I apologized to them. I'm sorry. I don't even know how I got off on track there. And they just stared at me, sort of like dumbfounded, and said, "You just answered all my problems. You just answered what I was going through. I didn't even tell you. I was embarrassed. But you got there, and you answered it." He goes, "Did you know?" And I said, "No, I didn't. I don't even know what I was talking about. It just came out." That was the Spirit of God. That kind of thing happens all the time. When we allow God to work through us, when we allow God to speak through us, when we get hold of, you know, He throws something in our heart, in our mind. It comes through. We think it's our thought, but it's actually the Holy Spirit. And we run with it. And then we sort of feel like something like helping us to go on, and it seems to like begin to take on a life of its own. And you're thinking like, "I think God is wanting me to say this," and you begin to speak it out, and the other person is like, "Wow, you just spoke right to my heart." That's sort of a way in what happens with the prophetic, with you know, like when Ed Trout comes here, or a word of, you know, of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, and that. I mean, we don't always, like, you know, God doesn't give us like "and now for an announcement from the Holy Spirit." It doesn't come out like that, you know. You have to sort of learn to get used to it. Somebody that does, the more you do it, the more you're able to do it. The more you do it, the more you start to recognize, oh, here comes God. This is a word from God. At first, we think it's ourself, and we wonder, maybe, is God using me or something? Then we begin to say, like, "Wow, yeah, that worked out." And then it happens a little more. And we begin to see that He's beginning to use me when I speak to people. And I start to share things, and I start to talk to people, and I realize, like, wow, I'm making inroads into people's lives that I wouldn't think I would, but it's happening. And we just have to throw ourselves out there and make way for God to work. So you have to talk to people. You got to have an interest in their life. You got to, like, care about who they are, what's happening to them. You start to share a little bit. You listen. And as you listen, everybody wants someone to hear what's going on about their life. And they start opening up their heart. Just open the door for God to do a miracle. That's how that works. So we need to see ourselves as God's spokesperson. Somebody who God trusts enough to share His message. The message of forgiveness and reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." It's pretty amazing when you think about it, that God would use a vessel like me, or a vessel like you, to share such an important, life-changing message that can actually determine someone's eternal destiny. Wow. We need to be wanting to use that. That's why Paul asked people to pray for him in Colossians 4:4. He says, Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. That should be our prayer, that we would be faithful to proclaim the message that God has put in our heart. Our job is to speak the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. In a court of law, that testimony is the best evidence, first-hand testimony, first-hand account. Better, it's the eyewitness account is better than any other. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Nobody can tell your story like you can. You have your own unique testimony. We are supposed to tell what is true to us. What God's done for us, what He's done in our family, how He's changed our attitude towards life, how He's given us the ability to see things like we've never seen them before, how He's changed our relationship with other people, how His Word has brought life and light to us, wisdom, comfort, and peace and joy. How the Holy Spirit has filled us with so many good gifts, so many good things. We can tell them how we met God, how He rescued us, how He changed our life. Nobody can deny your personal testimony. They don't know. They haven't read some other thing about your life and they're going to say, "No, I read all about your story over there." That's not what happened. They can't deny your life. It's true. It's yours. It's your heart. It's your conviction. It's your emotion. And that will shine through. The zeal that you have for God will shine through very clearly. And it becomes very convincing because you're saying it as a first-hand eyewitness. A first-hand one who's gotten that in your life. Especially then when you add the Holy Spirit on top of that. Because the Holy Spirit will sort of tailor it to that person's needs. He'll give you the right way to say it so that when you let it out, what happened to you, it will be just in the way that that person needs to hear it. We're to be witnesses. And it's not just the things we say, it's also the person that we are. Think of it this way, if you were on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you as being a Christian? I would hope so. You know, we can look at a good painting and we say, "Oh, that was a good artist." Or we can read a good book and say, "Oh man, he's a great writer. I love his works." And you know, that doctor, man, he figured it out. He diagnosed me. He's a really good doctor. Well, the character of Christ should be shown forth in our life. So that when people look at us, they say, "Yeah, he's a good Christian man," or "She's a good Christian woman. I can see it. I can see the way they live their life." Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Our life, and you've probably heard this before, our life may be the only Bible that some people might ever see. So we need to portray the character of God in such a way that when people look at our life, they are enticed by something that they see and they begin to recognize that it's God in us. They should be drawn in by the love that we have, the joy that's in our life, the peace and all the fruit of the Spirit. Just as a hungry person would be drawn in by the smell of, you walk into a house and somebody's baking pies and turkeys in the oven and, You know, you smell the dressing and you walk in, you go, ah, man, that smells good. And right away you get hungry, don't you? Yeah. Well, if they catch God in us, they get hungry. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When they begin to hear about the things of God, they begin to see it in somebody's life, it starts to stir up a hunger in them for that peace, for that joy, for that love, for that salvation, for that forgiveness, for that relationship, for that knowledge of where they're going to go in eternity. Our God is a God of abundance. Jesus came not only to save us from sin and from death, but he came and not even only to bring us an eternal future, a blessed eternal future. He also came so that we could live this life, the life we have now, with the life as an abundant life. Remember, he wants to give us every good gift because those are the things that come from our Father in heaven. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now. Now, not just someday way off into the future, like, yeah, someday I'm going to get to go to heaven, man. It's a hard life, man. I got no joy, no life, no nothing. But yeah, someday it'll be all right, yeah. That's not going to entice too many people. Now, of course, we go through things just like everybody else. We're going to go through stuff. But that's how come we can count our trials for joy, it talks about, because we know it's going to work out, that God's going to get us through, that God is with us, even in the midst of our trials. So we're not despondent. We don't have a hopelessness. We still have hope. We still have faith. We still have love. We still have joy. We still have peace in the midst of our trials. The world system and the devil try to portray the life of a Christian as a life of just nothing but rules and regulations and boredom and dullness, a life that's deprived and wimpy. And, you know, they portray Christians on TV. They're always like these wimpy people. They usually portray them as hypocrites. I mean, they try to paint him in the worst possible way. That's a false report. The loudest, clearest, most eloquent testimony of a Christian is the one who is living with the joy of the Lord in their heart. With the love of God coming out of us in word and in deed. Living a life that brings praise, honor, and glory to God. Trusting Him, loving Him, allowing people to see our life, you know. And yeah, they don't have to see that everything is perfect, because it's not. But we know that God is with us. And that's a perfect out. Even when something is going wrong, we can say, you know what, yeah, I'm really going through a little bit of a tough time right now, but I know God's with me, and I know He's taking care of me, and He's been showing me things. I've been learning through this. Because God's a good God. We are loved by God. We are forgiven. We've been saved from certain death. We're assured eternal life. The victory of the cross is ours. What a great message we have to share. This is the work that is ongoing. Our work, our testimony. This is what we still have to do, our job as Christians. It doesn't end. For if the message of the cross is in the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, if nobody sees it, if nobody hears about it, if it's not spoken about or believed, how is it going to do anyone any good? That's right in Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Somebody has to do it. Guess who that somebody is? Every one of us should say me. We're that somebody. The one who is supposed to spread the message. We're the ones that get. We're the ones that get to proclaim the good news, the wonderful message of salvation, of forgiveness, of hope. We are. We're the ones that has something to really testify about. Us. God's worshiping warriors. We should see ourselves as worshipers and as fighters. Sometimes we have to fight our own flesh to get out there. And then we have to fight the world system that's all around us that's so corrupt. And then we have to fight, of course, the demonic forces that are out there. But we go at it as a worshiping warrior, proclaiming the wonderful news that God has come to rescue us. God is looking to raise up an army. We're that army. Ready, trained, ready to stand, ready to be united in spirit, without fear, fighting the good fight. Because sometimes it is a fight. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. Some days it's tough. But we got to, even in those tough days, we got to always dig in. When you're in battle, in a war zone, they dig in, don't they? And it's not always easy. Sometimes they have to, you know, stretch a little bit. But they're ready. They're trained. They're on a mission. They know their mission. They know what to do. And we should know too. God wants us to be ready to storm the gates of hell, to rescue those that are being held in darkness. We should be honored that God has called us to fight for His kingdom. We can't let Him down. After all He's done for us, we can't let Him down. So if I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a message to proclaim. That you've given us, and you continue to give us, so many opportunities to speak that message. It's like Donna was sharing about having that opportunity to plant that seed at the hospital. It's like during Bible release when we plant seeds there. It's like when we go into a restaurant, talk to a waiter or a waitress, or we're standing in line talking to somebody, our neighbor, our relatives, our friends, our co-workers, whoever it might be. God, open doors for us that we might proclaim the message. Proclaim the message. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.